Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Join us and bring up whatever you want to discuss here. That's what we do on Free Talk Live. You can join us online as well at freetalklive.com. Lots of features await you there, completely free, unlike a lot of talk show websites where they want to charge you for archives and chat rooms and things like that. We do all that for free at freetalklive.com. Coming up tonight, Joe's got a disturbing story from the quote-unquote free state, so-called free state of Florida.
Yeah.
where just last night we were talking about how DeSantis wants to make it so that you can't say what you can currently legally say about politicians. He wants to repeal the protections that people who say things that might not be true when it comes to politicians have. From being sued for libel, for instance.
Yeah.
So this guy, this DeSantis, is not a freedom of speech guy. He's not a freedom loving person. Sadly, some people seem to have been fooled by this character simply because he was quote unquote good on COVID, but only after he was bad on COVID and then changed his mind because he realized that it was politically feasible for him to get some popularity by being good on COVID. Because he was a total authoritarian to begin with.
I think we should start calling him Ron Hamilton.
After Alexander Hamilton? Yeah, so we can talk about that. And then also in the news, national divorce. There's been a poll conducted by Rasmussen, and they asked Americans and different demographics and such about the idea of national divorce. As you may have heard, this Marjorie Taylor Greene character, this Republican in Congress, has been talking publicly about the idea of national divorce. Now, of course, she doesn't really, either she doesn't understand what secession means, or she's purposefully trying to muddy the waters, because she's been painting this picture of, oh yeah, we think the states should separate, but there should still be a federal government, and the federal government should be smaller, but it should still do things like have a war on drugs or a war on.
The most ironic thing. What's the you're talking between two sides, you know?
Yeah, she absolutely is. And like I said, I don't know if she's doing it on purpose because she's just not that intelligent, or if she, or I don't know whether she's not that intelligent or if she's doing it on purpose. So, but
evil genius, perhaps.
But regardless, it has gotten the idea of national divorce out there. It has pushed the conversation forward to some extent, even though she's not really being particularly good at communicating the idea. Of course, for those of us that understand secession or independence, the idea would be that there would be no more federal government for anyone that's leaving, and in any kind of breakup scenario. Whatever the federal government is today would not exist in that current form on into the future. Now, I mean, there's some important questions that need to be asked, obviously, as far as, well, if there was going to be this so-called divorce where the red states would have their own country and the blue states would have their own country, what exactly would happen to the federal government? How would you divvy up, you know, military assets, nuclear weapons, what happens to the post office? I mean, there are a lot of questions that would need to be asked, but Marjorie Taylor Greene hasn't been talking about ending the federal government.
And, you know, the whole thing with national divorce, I see what's more realistic is regional divorce, because we definitely have two different cultures between, you know, the cities and the rural areas in this country. I mean, like New York, for example, you know, upstate New York is all a bunch of, you know, farm boys that, you know, like their guns and a bunch of rednecks and, That's what the culture of essentially most of upstate New York, with the exception of the inner cities, you know, there's a bunch of those up in New York, you know, like Syracuse, Schenectady, Albany, and but as soon as you get outside, it's, and even like Colorado, you got away from the cities, it's all conservatives, it's a bunch of liberals in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
But the real thing is let's take a step back and ask, why would we need a divorce? Is it because the ex-husband is beating the wife, and you know the wife wants to, you know, divorce? You know, kind of situation. The cities are dominating and putting, you know, legislation that applies in cities and enforcing it in rural areas. But if the country actually functioned as a constitutional republic, as described in Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, where you have separations of powers and basically, you know, you just can't violate the rights of the people. 99% of the population can't vote to take away the rights of 1% of the people. And, you know, all your neighbors could unanimously agree that you shouldn't have a right to do whatever. And, you know, we're supposed to be protected in our life, liberty, and property.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Obviously is not what is happening. Yeah. So the thing is national divorce, like state by state, just doesn't make sense. Because New Hampshire would be considered some kind of liberal blue state by, you know, some metrics.
Well, the 12% of the country that actually voted for Biden should not be, like, they cannot decide right. our right. future, the rest of us. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I don't know how New Hampshire would end up falling in any kind of whatever this national divorce situation would look like. Which is why we need to make sure we get out in front of this and secede from the United States
before anything like
that happens. But the news here from Rasmussen, as reported by dailymail.co.uk, is it's a solid third of Americans that right now, according to Rasmussen, support the idea of national divorce.
Cool.
They're describing it as a surprising number of Americans, which it really isn't if you look at the previous studies that have been done across the United States asking questions. I remember there was one, I think it was like 2020 or 2021, where they asked people about like a regional separation kind of thing. So it wasn't asking about should your state secede alone. It was asking, would you support your state seceding along with sort of the connecting states? So like there was the Southeast, there was the Northeast, there was these different regions. And it was anywhere between like 29 and 40-something percent. Even Texas had, I think, 60% or something like that. So it was very high in some areas. But, like, even the West Coast had 30% support. I think New Hampshire, or rather New England, had, like, 34%, even among Democrats. So it's not shocking to those of us who've been watching this issue, but for people that are new to the idea of national divorce and they've just heard some buzz online or maybe seen a news article about it, they might be surprised that it's a solid 34% of Americans, according to this study, say they agree with Green that the United States needs a national divorce where red and blue states would separate and the federal government would be shrunk. But still 57% are disagreeing with the premise. When broken down by party, Republicans are split on the matter with just a 5% margin between those who agree and disagree. And even 26% of Democrats say they agree with Taylor Greene's idea. According to the numbers, it's actually 47% of Republicans who say they support the national divorce. And it's actually only 42% who disagree. So 11% of Republicans are unsure about the question. So most of the Republicans responding, or at least a plurality of them to the survey, actually support it. So more Republicans support national divorce than oppose national divorce at this point.
And it's not like New Hampshire and like other states that actually, you know, go ahead with the secession or independence. They're not going to be like, oh, now everything around us is enemies. That's what like is in people's minds because of the mm-hmm. Civil War and all that. But in the reality is like, no, Massachusetts could be our friend. Vermont can be our friend. You know, maybe even D.C. could be our friend. But
I know you laugh.
But like, you know, there could be, you know, in a free market world, they
trading
could be
partners.
They could be offering something that we need, and that they're
so
you know,
nothing of value in
don't
D.C.
Don't spoil it, Ian, man.
I trade with people in Massachusetts and
yeah,
from
sure.
Maine and from Vermont all the time. I mean, it's, you know, it's, New England is a pretty regional, you know, area, so we're all sort of, you know, most anybody who consumes food here is consuming it from, you know, mostly other states, but And that's what makes everyone friendly is trade. And, you know, when you put limitations and barriers and sanctions on people, that's what, you know, it, you know, is disincentivizes friendliness. That's what creates hostilities. And that's essentially what, and I don't think there would be any of that, because if New Hampshire decided not to be a part of the corporation calling itself the United States, decided to opt out, by a vote of its people, it would be, you know, interesting. But, like, you know, there's still going to be truckloads of hay coming into New Hampshire for your cows and your horses from New York and from Canada. Yeah. You know, there's still going to be dairy products coming from Wisconsin. There's, you know, because it's a marketplace and people want to sell it. And it be, and if it's basically not a, no longer the feds in there, a federal marketplace, now we got way more options.
Yeah, no more interstate commerce clauses, and, like, the Fed doesn't have to put their hand in it.
We could probably
just across the line
import our own oil directly from Russia to our own oil port, and sort of be and be way less, you know, dependent on, you know, resources, because our marketplace, we wouldn't, right now, you can't, you know, no one in the United States is going to be able to get a load of Russian oil.
Actually, no, I want to see Texas happen, so Texas exit, and then Texas can sell us their oil. How's that sound?
They have it, too. Yeah, it's a good point.
They can just bring it to New Hampshire.
Sure, or we could buy our oil directly from Canada and build a pipeline from, you know, from Quebec right into New Hampshire. I mean, we've got this other awesome border.
There's a lot of options that open up, and New Hampshire does have a deep water port. So, I mean, even though there's not a whole lot of coastline in New Hampshire, we do have a deep water port, so there that is a possibility. And, of course, right now, I was actually just watching the John Stossel's YouTube channel, Odyssey. I mean, it was on Odyssey. But anyway, I was watching John Stossel last night, and he had a report about the Jones Act.
Yes, I saw that one.
Which is an interesting, ridiculous thing that prohibits anywhere in the United States from, if you're going to ship, let's say, from Texas to New Hampshire,
right,
you cannot ship with a foreign shipping company.
Right.
You have to use a U.S.-based shipping company.
And this had complications with Puerto Rico, is what it was.
It's complicated a lot of
things.
Well,
Puerto Rico is a big example of it, because they actually were having a shortage on diesel and food and all kinds of other resources.
Yep.
And they had a ship sitting right there at the bay.
Right.
But the Jones Act said no.
They had a ship with fuel in view of Puerto Rico, but it was illegal for them to actually come to deliver that fuel because it was a foreign ship.
And the feds are like, you're cutting the line. Oh, okay.
So stupid.
Yeah.
And they even actually had Chris Sununu from New Hampshire appear on that particular episode, because the power company Eversource, that does the centralized power here in New Hampshire, wanted to buy liquefied natural gas, but they couldn't because they wanted to buy it from elsewhere, like in the United States, but they couldn't because all of the ships that can transport LNG are foreign ships.
Yep.
There literally are zero ships that can do LNG transports that are from the United States.
So, and this is purposeful. So they want to take these LNG, liquid natural gas ships, and they don't want it sent, you know, coming off of Shreveport, or, well, you know, that east or whatever, out of the Gulf of Mexico, any of those, Louisiana and Texas, and running to, like, New England, because they want that ship going to Europe. And then they want that ship running over to somewhere in Ukraine, filling up with natural gas, and coming back to the States, probably, you know, because they do have natural gas comes into Boston, comes into, and, you know, and it comes from foreign places.
From
sometimes.
Foreign places, yes.
But, and the thing is there's just not enough Americans to really do all the work that we got to do that are willing to work. So to have these American ships, you know, you know, just like the train stuff is turning into a disaster, you're going to see it with shipping, too. It's just everything.
Well, he's already saying that the ships that are manufactured in the United States have gone from, like, 18 per year to 1.
Yep.
The amount of shipyards went down from, like, 450 to 150. So it's down tremendously. I mean, the entire industry has just been driven into the dirt because they're not allowed to compete.
Yeah.
There's no competition.
You know, this is extreme abuse by the feds, and we don't need this anymore. Like, it's so blatant that they're, like, obviously trying to create collapses in corners of the world so that way it doesn't, you know, topple them later on. But, you know, I feel like they just do not care. You don't want to talk about national divorce? Well, here we are. This is, like, these are perfect examples.
Great reasons.
Yeah.
And another thing to go back with the shipping stuff. So I used to do a lot of business with some Canadians you know, importing hay into New Hampshire and Massachusetts and stuff. And I used to go up there and get hay and have guys ship me hay. And one of the problems was is almost every trucking company I hired, it was like really difficult for them to get a load back out of, you know, sort of like Western Mass or wherever.
To
get them back to Canada with a load. Mm-hmm. And it was like, they were very limited on what they could haul. One of the only
things.
Is this
because of the border?
This is because.
Restrictions?
Yeah. So basically they definitely couldn't haul like what he really wanted to do was like haul produce from mm-hmm. Some place down in Connecticut or some kind of fish or something to a place up in northern Vermont. But so he was barred from doing that because he couldn't haul it within. Because
he's a Canadian trucker.
Canadian. And so basically the only thing he could find to bring him home was a load, you know, to go home with was a
load. So they have the same stupid rule for truck drivers.
Right.
The Jones Act. I mean, is it the same act?
I don't know, but I know those drivers couldn't like haul anything, you know, within the states. They could only haul it from the states to Canada. And they were very limited. I think the only thing they could haul, it had to do with Canadian and American, both, you know, governments, you know, working together to
mm-hmm.
sort of...
Protectionism.
Yeah. He was like, the only thing he could haul was logs. And, like, logs just didn't pay much, but, you know, we hauled them anyways, so it covered some of its fuel costs. But it was...
Look what happened to the trucking business during COVID. Remember when there was all the news about the ships in the harbor outside of Los Angeles and Long Beach where there was a 200 cargo ships out there? They didn't have enough truck drivers within the United States.
Well, it wasn't actually truck drivers. They didn't have enough. Here's the problem with California. So I used to really pay attention to
California has regulations against certain older trucks.
Right. So I used to pay a lot of attention to the trucking industry. And so all these brand new semi trucks running down the road are basically somewhat pieces of junk. They have these engine emission systems that are really, really just abusive on the actual engine coming from a mechanic's point of view. So what they have is they have exhaust gas recirculation. They have these diesel particulate filters that are like tens of thousands of dollars on a semi-truck, just, you know, these diesel particulate filters. They have this stuff called urea, which they call it diesel exhaust fluid. If you ever go to the pumps, you see DEF everywhere. It's diesel exhaust fluid. And what it does is sprays into the exhaust to neutralize some acid. And anyways, when it gets cold, when you let the truck sit for like a week or two, these systems have a very, very high failure rate. A lot of the farm equipment is like a lot of farmers don't even want to own. The guy I worked for in Colorado, he doesn't want to own anything because it's so finicky, like with the emissions controls, that there's a big failure rate. And what happens is these tractors and these trucks go into what's called limp mode, and you can only drive them really slow.
Hmm.
Every truck driver listening right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. So what a lot of guys started doing was, you can delete all this stuff off these trucks. So the EPA has really started hammering on a lot of mechanics and, you know, shops that do this stuff. They call them diesel delete, and you'll see, like, these trucks go from getting, like, 4.5 miles to the gallon to getting, like, 7.5 miles
to
the gallon.
It's a huge difference.
It's huge difference. Like, pickup trucks go, like, Dodge 3500 diesel pickup trucks, say, like, a, you know, 2012, 2020 truck. They go from getting, you know, 15, 16 miles to the gallon driving them like a car. And so when you delete all the emission stuff, reprogram the computer and hack them, you know, guys are getting almost 25 miles to the gallon with these things because now you're using all the technology to, you know, really make them efficient. But what happens is the exhaust is called like a NOx rating is a little off or something. And you know, the environmentalists don't like it, but it actually really restricts these engines. And the other thing it does is the engines run extremely dirty. So you get this soot in your diesel engine, which wears them out. So you see a lot of these new trucks have a lot of downtime. So the only companies that can run California for the past several years are companies that are guys that are running EPA Tier 5 whatever compliant trucks. So these are trucks like basically manufactured after like 2012 for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and a brand new semi truck's like, you know, $200,000 for a decent one, that's not the trailer, it's just a truck. So these things are expensive to buy, so only the big trucking companies can really buy them.
So a lot of independent operators, they're still running their old rigs from back whenever. They work fine, they're running fine, but they're not allowed into California.
Seems like they're cutting out the upper middle class, whereas like independent drivers, these like freelance truck drivers, they can no longer survive on their own. They are forced into contracts into their trucks.
There's a lot more to it. So, for example, these new trucks are really hard to maintain and maintain at this specific emission level. So what happens is, like, for example, there's this outfit called Fitzgerald Truck Lines. or Fitzgerald Truck Sales, and they do what's called a glider kit. So this is where you can buy like a brand new, you know, Peterbilt or Kenworth semi-truck, and they buy it with no engine, no transmission, and no rear axles. They just get it. It's called a glider kit. And what you can do is you can put an engine from like a 1995 truck in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pre-emissions engine. And so technically, you, that whatever the engine serial number is, manufacturer date, that's what dominates the emissions thing. And then they trick these engines all out with the computer programming and all kinds of really good parts. They put, you know, decent and regular transmissions, rear ends in them. And these guys are getting like between, you know, 8 and 10 miles to the gallon haul on freight. They've almost doubled their fuel mileage. And when you're putting like 600,000 miles a year on a semi-truck, that's a huge amount of money.
So hold on, you're
they're
saying...
They're all banned from California. You can't even do that as of now.
Wow.
Like, so if you had like a 1995 Peterbilt semi-truck, mm-hmm. and you drove it into California, you would be like a criminal. You can't
wow.
even do like the old, you know, truck.
But you're saying some people were putting old engines into newer housing?
Yep. Yep, brand new trucks.
And that was working for a while, but now they're checking somehow yep. the age of the parts?
Well, what they're doing is, so there are actually guys that I've heard, they put these upgrade diesel emission kits on their trucks,
mm-hmm.
and then they basically have like a thing like, you know, like the kids building the race cars, they would have what's called a cutout. So the cutout on the exhaust was you could basically pull a cable and it would move a valve in your exhaust and not direct the exhaust through the muffler, it would just dump it right out. So it was like an open header, so you could, you know, do your drag race and then you're driving on a street and you close your exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
They have a similar system for doing these for these semi-trucks, but it costs like $20,000,
mm-hmm.
and you would have to do that with one of these older semi-trucks, get certified by California. It's a real pain in the butt. It's not even worth doing to put like an mm-hmm. additional diesel particulate system on. So guys just don't run California. That was the thing. Nobody wants to go to California. No independent owner-operators that are running the road. You know, a dad who's got one truck feeding the family is just not running California. So very few guys go there.
But yet, Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach are very, very popular ports, right? Like, I presume there's some up in Oregon and Washington State. But
yeah, they nobody wants California. Like, you'll see, like, in a truck stops or the trucker magazines, you open them up and it'll be like, we're hiring drivers. No New York City, no California, you know, for example. Or they're like, you know, shipping loads. No California, no New York City.
Wow.
I was watching Rich Rebuilds, and he's been doing conversions of diesel trucks to electric.
He's like a YouTuber or something?
Yeah. He's out of New Hampshire in Mass.
Okay.
And he also did the conversions of a diesel engine in a Tesla. So
wow.
It was kind of funny. But the thing is that the one he made a diesel truck into an electric, the FDA or whatever you call it, the EPA, they came after him because this was an already subsidized truck. So he can't convert it. And he's suing them. He's countersuing
We're going to continue here. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160, whether you want to talk about trucking or national divorce.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The life of the once wealthy, high-profile South Carolina lawyer accused of murdering his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul, is in the hands of the jury. Judge Clifton Newman addressed the jurors in the Murdoch double murder trial before the deliberation began.
You are also the judges, the sole judges of the credibility, that is, the believability of the witnesses who have testified and of the evidence offered.
Another week, another rise in mortgage rates. Freddie Mac says the rate for a 30-year mortgage came out to an average of 6.65% for the week that ended today. It was sitting at 6.5% the previous week. Carolina Panthers founder Jerry Richardson is dead at the age of 86. Current owners David and Nicole Tepper said Richardson's contributions to pro football in the Carolinas are historic. Dave Collins, USA News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, by the way, this weekend, some of us are going to be at the Free State Project's Liberty Forum that is happening.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many years it's been, because I know they missed a couple years, and it started in like 2007, so roughly 15 years, I think, of the Liberty Forum, which is the Free State Project's yearly convention. So they have the yearly camping festival, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, that happens in the summertime. Actually, I guess it's the end of spring, right around there. And then there's this one that always happens in the wintertime. So for those of you that might be still looking for something to do this weekend, if you're going to be up in the New England area and you've been thinking about checking out New Hampshire, coming on up to the Liberty Forum is a great event. As I understand it, tickets are still available for this one.
I think last year's got sold out.
It did.
Yeah,
it did. I don't know how close they are to sell out this year, but certainly it's a great excuse to come check out New Hampshire right in the heart of wintertime and explore a little bit of Manchester, get out, check out some of the restaurants in the area. And
maybe you'll
meet some people.
Maybe you'll meet Mr. Bitcoin.
I have heard a rumor Mr. Bitcoin may be attending.
Mr. Bitcoin's going to be there.
Photo ops. That's a cool thing.
Another thing, Liberty Forum last year was they had a little kids' room. So, I have kids. Right. I got a 3-year-old.
Right. Yep. This is a family room.
And an 18-month-old. So, this year, it's like $15 a head for the kids.
Okay.
Which I think is great, because as money's going towards making the sort of the kid area bigger and better.
Buy toys or something.
Right? And also pay to people, that are hanging out there with kids
makes
all day.
Makes sense, yeah.
And all the, it was a bunch of teenagers mostly and a few local moms last year, and they all did a great job, and the kids had a lot of fun.
Cool.
I don't plan on going this year. I just got way too much work to do. I can't afford the time off.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to get me out of the house.
Nice.
I am technically on house arrest, but it's a working event for me. I'm going to be behind a table the whole time
Oh, great.
In the tabling area, so looking forward to it.
I'll be there, too.
Yeah, so
filming.
Looking forward to that, too. So, yeah, come on out and see us. We're going to be at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Officially, it starts tomorrow night, but the 2 full days are right. Saturday and Sunday. There's, like, one speech, I think, tomorrow night, and then, like, a networking event.
There's going to be an Alt Expo room. Jack Schimek is
doing back at it. Good.
His Alt Expo, I heard last night. So you don't need a ticket for Alt Expo.
That's right.
You just need to... I don't even know where to... AltExpo.com, maybe.
They used to have a website, and then I think they let it expire.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but you'll find it.
Yeah, word will be getting around.
Yeah, it's probably going to be over in the basement by the pool is where it was last year.
So check out the Free State Project's Liberty Forum. You can go to their website, nhlibertyforum.com. We will look forward to seeing you there. So we were just talking about the national divorce, and that led to a conversation about the trucking industry and how California just doesn't want to allow competition in truck driving. They've restricted the types of trucks to only the newer, most recent decade yep. of trucks, which, of course, are the most regulated of all trucks, the most inefficient of all trucks.
You're exempt if you're a farmer or mm-hmm. a recreational vehicle. So if you got that same 1995 Peterbilt truck and you're hauling your camper with it, you're fine.
You're fine.
But okay. if you're hauling freight, nope.
And then it's a criminal act,
right.
apparently.
Yeah.
So you can comment on any of those things. The number here is 603-283-6160. We were talking about the Rasmussen poll that found 34% of Americans are saying they think that the red and blue states need a national divorce. Now, you know, if I were called on this poll and asked this question, it would be a tough one for me to answer because I'm in favor of secession. But I don't know if I'm in favor of what Marjorie Taylor Greene described as a national divorce, which would leave the federal government intact and somehow divorce the red states from the blue states. It's not really clear exactly what that would mean.
Making two countries?
No, obviously it wouldn't be two countries, right? Because if there's one federal government overarching over both of these
that
properties.
That sounds like more centralization versus actually, because we're all independent states, supposedly. And then, you know, making this a red-blue thing, that seems like, merging of states.
It's so confusing. I don't know if she knows what she's saying here, because what it sounds like is that, that there would be even more, like, homogenization amongst, maybe there would be, like, a lefty government and a righty government over all of these states. Right. Who knows what exactly she has in mind.
She's put down the crack pipe.
But she doesn't want to get rid of the federal government, so therefore it's not real secession. So I don't know if I would have to say I wasn't sure or if I agree or I disagree with this.
Well, she sounds like she doesn't want to get rid of her position of, you know.
Certainly not.
Of a congressman. But, the whole idea. So first off, the states by themselves are sovereign individual nations anyways.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
But what happens.
They don't act like it.
But what happens is there is, you know, the federal government is essentially bribing the states constantly with all kinds of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of the biggest things
with strings attached
that we could do is, first off, stop accepting the money. Right?
New Hampshire has done it here and there, but not often enough.
New Hampshire, I think, is the only state that doesn't have a seatbelt law.
Correct. And there's always, like, a few million bucks the feds are dangling over us for that one.
So the idea of just, rejecting the federal money... You know, there's like, here's a absurdity of more federal money. There's a guy, his name is Younger. I forget his first name, Thomas Younger. He was on Tim Casta a couple weeks ago, and Jeffrey Younger, and he was talking about how when the state, when you go to divorce court or you go to custody hearings and the state awards child support, that for every dollar of child support the state awards in whichever direction, they get reimbursed from the federal government 66%, and in Texas, that money goes into what's called the Judicial Retirement Fund, that 66% of whatever child support. So,
meaning that the verdict against whoever parents, so if the dad has to pay
$1,000
a month, then the federal government pays the courts?
Pays your judicial pension fund, I believe it's called, or retirement fund. Pays them $666.
That's insane.
And so this is a major incentive. And basically what he was saying, that this is probably happening in every single state. the same exact stuff. Because every federal offer that's made to one state, all these other states get the same federal offer. You know, it's just like with the DCYF stuff. Every time DCYF conducts an investigation on a family, they get like a $6,000 check
from the feds.
From the feds through from the Child Safety Whatever Act from the Clinton years.
This is a pretty messed up incentives here.
Yes.
And again, more reasons to walk away from this. By the way, since you mentioned the seatbelt thing, it's back every 2 years. Some statist authoritarian in the New Hampshire either Senate or representatives puts forward another seatbelt requirement bill, and so it's in the House right now. Looks like they're going to have an executive session on it this week. So hopefully,
so buckle up.
Yeah, hopefully. They will shoot this thing down in committee, and then it won't. I mean, it never does pass, although right now it's a pretty split House, meaning that there's just barely maybe one or two more Republicans than there are Democrats. And if enough Republicans or whatever Democrats don't show up on any given day, it can go one way or the other. So hopefully this thing won't get
through. You know what people should do? They should follow any of these representatives out until they get to their car and see if they're buckling up when they leave.
Well, they may just do it just for the cameras. So, but well, yeah, it's going to be a little bit test.
Be candid, people.
Yeah,
I don't recommend following people around.
Well, they're representatives.
Yes, you're right.
And they have representative badges on their plates.
They sure do.
Because they need to be known where they are at all times, okay. So that when we see them at the store, we're like, hey, do not support those seatbelt bills, and I'm going to make sure you're wearing your damn seatbelt because you don't be a hypocrite now, okay?
I think that's an interesting, that would be an interesting approach. And I got to agree with Joa on this one. I mean, these people are your so-called representatives.
Yep.
You absolutely have a right to follow them to their car. In fact, while they're in that car, that license plate, that special state
license
plate.
I forgot about the license plate. Yeah, they do.
It gives them special permission, actually. They're allowed to break the traffic laws when they are going to, I think, from the State House. Definitely to the State House.
Really?
Yeah, so if they want to go 100 miles an hour down a 55-mile-an-hour zone,
damn,
they cannot be pulled over
for it. Man, I want to be a rep just so I can be, like, intentionally late every time and just, like... Rare.
In theory, you can violate other laws too. I think. I don't know if it's just traffic laws.
It's like a get out of jail free card
to some extent. Yeah, but only when you're going to the state.
You can't open carry on the floor.
Yeah, that needs to change. There's a lot that's wrong with the New Hampshire.
Can you concealed carry on the floor as a state rep?
I think they finally made it so you can.
Okay.
I think that was one of the things that the Republicans
that makes
changed
me feel
back.
Better.
But they've been going back and forth on that for like the last 20 years. Like when the Democrats get in charge, they abolish concealed carry rights for state reps on the House floor. The people still have the right to carry. So if you were to go into the
Joe Schmo citizen,
they can't stop you from going in and carrying a gun. But and you could even open carry into the House chamber.
Huh.
But the actual reps themselves, I don't know if they're allowed to open carry, but I'm pretty sure that at this time they've been able to resume concealed carry.
It's almost like the passengers can carry on this plane, but the pilots cannot. Students must be disarmed.
I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting place. I mean, some state houses actually have cops with metal detectors at the front entrances. You can't even can't get in there with a knife, let alone a gun. So New Hampshire is a really unusual and free place by comparison. And hopefully we will see New Hampshire be the first state to leave. New Hampshire was the first to declare independence from the king back in the day, and it ought to be the first to declare independence from the federal gang.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't know if there's much else to say here. They do point out that, of course, most of the Democrats are against the idea of, or at least Marjorie Taylor Greene's idea of so-called national divorce. But the wrong question is being asked here. The better question is, what do people think about independence for their state? Not this whole let's team up with all the other blue states or with all the other red states, so-called national divorce. But what about the people of California? What do they think of Calexit, of the idea of California declaring independence, becoming its own little socialist nation? There, I mean, obviously, the red counties.
Ask a farmer, or ask a city hipster riding his bicycle to go get his latte. You're going to get a different answer.
You get a different answer. Yeah,
they're a socialist state because they get the most money from the federal government. That's why they can be socialist.
I actually was looking the other day about that. I think California is technically a donor state.
It's a donor state?
I think.
I thought they don't pay an income tax because they
because the Feds give them a lot of money.
That's just what I saw. I did not look deeply into it. I think it qualified as just barely a donor state, meaning that they get back 99% of what they pay to the federal government. So they would have been a non-donor state if they got back like over 100%, right?
So what really needs to happen with California, a state like California, if it was, you know, like there's a movement for a Northern California, just like there's this, you know, greater Idaho, you know, movement to get folks, you know, in the
Eastern Oregon
Eastern
counties
yes.
to join Idaho.
Because pretty much everyone in rural America everywhere is just not happy with their city.
Right.
And their city politics. You know, what we have, the cities are basically multicultural democracies, and, you know, rural America is, you know, really pretending to be a, you know, constitutional republic, which it's not. I mean, at least the evidence is, you know, what's going on with governments and stuff is showing that's not what's happening. But more of what I'd like the conversation to be is, what are we going to do to fix this problem? Because
the problem of big city leftism versus the rural areas?
Yeah, the problem of, you know, people, they, them, and those who want to tell us what to do,
mm-hmm.
Constantly coming against, you know, me and my friends who want to be left alone. And that's sort of a way a lot of a rural America really feels, is that they're constantly being encroached on
sure.
by the city.
I mean, that's true. They're absolutely paying taxes to support the city people.
I mean, you don't know how many stories of, you know, Massachusetts farmers that had these big, beautiful farms in the 50s, 60s, and 70s of, you know, whatever, and then the cities just grow up around them, and they basically, so now the guy's got a whole bunch of neighbors that are like, we don't like the smell of your cows, and basically
dude, I was
the guy
here
gets
first.
Run out of town. Right. you know, this is why I seen somewhere in New York they're building a development right down the road, and this guy puts up this big old sign, and it says, notice, farm animals, you know, they poop right in front of you. They they have sex. They smell. They
yeah,
make
they
noises at inconvenient hours. You know, this farm's been here for 200 years, and you know we were here first, and
right.
you know something like that. And you know, on a hot summer day, it smells like shit. You know,
I don't know if you can say that, but you just did.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I don't know. That one I'm not sure of. But anyway, go on.
But anyways, so the thing is the solution is, like I said last week, the cities are really polluted and people are being raised in these polluted environments,
mm-hmm.
and then their brains are being polluted by internet devices, and then they're being further polluted and indoctrinated, you know, in the public school systems. And it's like, if you really love your children, don't put them in public schools. Don't let them sit with an internet device in front of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially while they're little. I mean, you could probably, you know, that first 6 years, no internet device is super crucial, I think.
And I don't think that you're wrong about that, but there's also some people who want to force that on
people. Oh, absolutely.
This Vivek guy. I don't know if you've heard this Vivek character, this guy that's running for Republican.
Yes, I was
president.
There for his announcement, actually.
Oh, you actually went to,
yeah.
to this
What's
guy?
He want
to
force but, now?
He wants to force young people to not go on social media. He wants
okay,
to
yep.
Mandate that anybody that is under the age of 16 or 15
baloney right there.
Would not go on. At the same time, at the other side of his mouth, he's saying, I believe in freedom. And then he says, however.
Right, right.
No,
absolutely.
So,
I could tell he was a snake in the boots.
Oh,
right?
He's scum.
Right away. I could just tell because, you know what? He's trying to, like, reach the crowd here, and
yeah.
he did a great job, but then he starts speaking, and I'm like, I don't agree with anything this guy's saying. Like, he says, like, these, you know, key words like, we've got to end this wokeness. Like, no, you don't. Let people be woke. You just, you know, don't allow it to be in the law. I don't know.
Yeah, he's totally pandering to people,
he's
which is what a politician's going
to
do. And he also wants to bring the war on drugs to Mexico and literally drop bombs on
the
cartels.
God.
And the guy is insane. He's a total psychopath.
But, you know, the problem is like they're also trying to swing the left-right pendulum really hard. I mean, the left has gone so far left that most of its original organic base does not agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every lefty I know is like, you know, not cool with the sexualization of children, not cool with the, you know, the whole, you know, the left is pushing, you know, you're not cool unless you had an abortion or two, you know, kind of thing, you know, like, And then what happens is you start getting these people on the right. They're like, oh, if you're really going to shove it down my throat, then I want to ban it. You know, mm-hmm. so and the same thing is like all this internet stuff is. And so we know now that, like, you know, literally the FBI has infiltrated every social media.
The Twitter files are showing a tremendous level of government involvement behind the scenes.
We know that government entities, money, forces, ideology was behind the development of all this stuff. The government's been giving Google and Amazon and all these huge big tech powerhouses like mega contracts for all kinds of things, or subsidies or whatever. And they're just in bed together. We have, you know, clearly what we have is a fascist system right now by mm-hmm. definition. These guys are working hand in hand. And then so now you're getting a lot of people that are really just so upset that this pendulum has swung so far to the left. That's the left here. And then my concern is that it's going to swing so hard to the right to where you're going to get some guy in there who's like, oh, we got to be like China and limit, you know, your TikTok time to 45 minutes a day, mm-hmm. which we had a caller that called in and was, that was a slideshow I did. A guy that's living in China. He goes, that doesn't happen. Everybody just uses a VPN and they can TikTok all they want. Yeah, you know, all the kids. Figures. He's like, so that's baloney. And he didn't say VPN. He said something else, but it was like a VPN.
Yeah.
But anyways, but we really, you know, it's, if America's not a freer place in 20 years or in a generation, it's our fault.
Sure it is.
You know, it's just the people who are alive right now who are making the decisions. A guy literally said something about, if you could go back to 2009 and you could only bring one piece of knowledge with you, what would it be? And I knew he was looking for the answer to be cryptocurrency or Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the knowledge would be don't let your kids use internet devices. You know, you make that choice so your kids don't grow up to be algorithmic slaves. But in today's economic times and the fact that government's made everything so difficult and just inflating the money and making it basically that, you know, marriage is not popular among Americans anymore. And, you know, lifetime commitments and things like that are not popular. The divorces are like all time highs. People aren't getting married. The single parent like thing is an epidemic. That's the real epidemic is, you know, single moms, you know, something mm-hmm. like 23% of the children in America are being, you know, 85% of those are being raised by a single mom, but they're single parent families. And there's a, and basically, the problem with a mom, the thing with a mom is, most situations has almost no choice but to get on a dole, get on the government system,
yep.
you know, take that welfare check. At least that's what she feels. So then there are a lot of those guys are the ones that are,
And who needs a man when you got a government check?
And then you know,
wait, that is the man.
The internet,
right?
You know, the internet device
can't hold you though.
Has become the babysitter. You know, yeah. The internet device has become the babysitter, and it's warping a lot of brains. But no, I don't think it should be banned. I don't agree with, you know, that thing that hard. But there's just a lot of government incentive out there to essentially, you know, like tablets are almost nothing. In fact, there's welfare programs where you get your kid his own tablet when they're 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me about it. I almost believe that was California.
Well, it's like outside the grocery stores, they like, yeah, free phone. And I'm like, I just like was curious. I wasn't going for it. But I was like, what kind of phone do you get? And they like show me a phone. It's like nicer than mine. I'm like,
what do you have to do to get it?
I bought this for $1,000. You just sign up. You get a free phone.
For what?
And it's they literally were getting like 30 gigabytes a month. What do you mean for what?
So it's just a phone company?
It's a subsidized Obama phone.
Oh, it's a government phone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And I was like, 30 gigabytes? Holy cow. You should be like the homeless population should be starting a revolution with 30 gigabytes.
Like, well, they're not going to start a revolution if they're given free drugs, free phones. I mean, you know, I mean, you really want to see an upset? Shut off the Wi-Fi in your house and see what your kids do. Now, imagine if the Wi-Fi didn't work with all the people in the city and there's no more Wi-Fi, what would people do without their social media drug and start having withdrawals?
It's like when electricity goes out and then, you know, you see these, like, all these really pale people coming out of their houses.
Yeah.
I'm homeless, but man, I can Facebook. You know, I can go over here to the charging, you know, area with my phone, or, you know, how are these guys all charging their phones, these homeless guys? Because they all have, I see them, they're like, you know, I'm homeless, they don't have to sign, and they're scrolling through their phone.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, to go back to the question you'd asked earlier, Jay, about, like, well, what do you do about the rural areas versus the city areas? Because secession on its own doesn't solve that problem. You still have, you know, like if New York secedes into its own country, you still have that division where the people in the upstate are fighting with the people in the cities.
Yep.
So how do you really deal with that? I mean, any kind of maybe recarving like with Greater Idaho, which is proposing to take in the eastern Oregon counties into Idaho. And apparently Idaho's legislature, I think, just voted for this.
Yeah,
so
I heard that.
It's actually moving forward so far. Now, the question is, what's the Oregon legislature going to do? And that remains to be seen. But if indeed there's enough of a movement for these changes to happen, it isn't impossible to change state borders. I mean, it can be done. I think the only downside is it would require the federal government to approve it. So I think that's the only issue with the current status quo is both the state legislatures, both of them have to approve it, and then I think it has to go before Congress to get their approval for it, and that could be where it goes down in flames. But if there's an actual discussion of a national divorce, maybe that's the time at which border shifting can be done, recutting and retooling borders, maybe giving up the idea of 50 states and having more states, having, you know, Illinois divvied up into Chicagoland and the rest of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that could be one. It's kind of a political way to handle it. But I think the more immediate way to handle it, at least from our perspective, is for libertarians to migrate to New Hampshire.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because the big city, quote unquote, here is Manchester, and it only has 125,000 people.
And it's probably one of the nicest cities that I've ever lived in. I don't really like living in the city, but it's actually not that bad. It really isn't.
But the point is the population is very low, and so you actually still have the chance to make a difference in a smaller city like that. It's still blue, right? Like the cities in New Hampshire, for the most part, vote Democrat. So that is still, that problem still kind of exists here. But I know that in Keene, if you had 100 people voting in a primary, you could elect absolutely anybody. 100 people per ward, so 500 people across the city. You could throw an election in a primary any direction you wanted to.
Wow.
So, you know, it can be done with enough Liberty Movers coming here to New Hampshire.
Let's
we got
go,
more
people.
Coming up. Here, hour two's on the way.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.